Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry would like to invite you to our monthly men's breakfast, held every first, third, and fifth Friday of each month. You enjoy fun fellowship in the Word of God as we break bread together. The meetings are held at First Christian Church, 1130 North Main Street, Kernersville, North Carolina. We start promptly at 6:30 a.m. and have a hard stop at 8 o'clock a.m. Come, join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr. Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Welcome back to Man Talk Radio. This is Roy Jones, your co-host.
And this is Will Hardy, your other co-host.
Will, it's been an amazing several weeks. It's been a long time since we've been together, so it's really good to be back and excited for us to get back on the radio and be able to share with our listening audience. And man, what a topic to talk about tonight. The whole Israeli conflict and all that's gone on in our society since the initial attack by Hamas onto the Israeli people. What do you have to say, Will?
Well, Roy, I tell you, it's we always get calls from people who say things like, hey, is what has this to do with like the end times? So every time when Israel get into a major conflict, that's calls that I get. And I don't know what you get, but those are calls that I get. So people ask the question, what does this have to do with the last times, and are we in those last times? So some people believe that we are, some believe that we're not. But I think the whole idea here is when the Hamas parachuted over the border fence and went into the kibbutz and they went into the concert. So they hit like multiple
targets at the same time.
At one time.
Yeah.
And I think a total of between 12 and 1400 people were killed. And
so day one.
Yeah, and that, I think, leads up to other things that happen along the way.
Right. Well, it's interesting, and of course you and I have talked about Ezekiel 38 and 39 and just kind of how all this is coming through that and fulfilling scripture. But what's crazy about this whole attack is that, the Israeli folks, that Israel as the country, was trying to co-occupy, coexist, right? And obviously there's some separation within the Gaza Strip with the fence and the border and so forth. But that was because Hamas rules that area and they can't jointly rule that area. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this attack on, I believe it was October 7th, is that right?
That's
October
right.
7th, mm-hmm. And Saturday. And it was just bizarre how as prepared as the IDF always is, and ready for battle, because it's constant in their life, unlike us where 9/11 occurred here, it was a big surprise and shock, and there, those folks are constantly on edge and ready. They've got the Iron Dome, they've got the Red Alert system, which lets them know how many rockets have been fired towards Israel, but yet, on this given day, they weren't prepared for this. The Hamas people, I guess, figured out where the loopholes were, where the weak points were at the time of day with the concert, like you said. It's Saturday, it's a day of rest for them. They weren't expecting this type of behavior and attack.
And Roy, when you look at the history of Israel, they have been warring ever since Israel became a state in May 1948.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly between 1948 and going into 1949, there was a war for independence.
Yeah.
And then in 1956, you had the Suez Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a crisis based, or war based on the Suez Canal, who would control it. I think it was France and Britain had a lot to do with it. And then a deal was brokered later on, on which ships could pass to and fro through the Suez Canal. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you had in 1967, you had the Six-Day War.
Yep.
And then in 1973, you actually had the war, what they call the Yom Kippur War.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened when, again, October 6th. Notice the dates, 6th,
mm-hmm.
7th.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened during Yom Kippur. And, of course, the Coalition of Nations, you know, that inner ring around Israel, and all of the groups that were involved attacked Israel. And then in, that was 73, and then in 82 or 83, you had another war, which was the Lebanon War. And then of course in 2006, you had what they called a second Lebanon War. So Israel has been fighting and
for
attempting,
years.
Yeah, to defend itself against all of these inner circle countries around it.
Right. So Iran, Turkey, all those are just a hot spot for Israel, right?
Correct. But Iran is really not, should I say, a player right now.
Not an actor directly, but they've
right.
been supporting with finances.
Exactly.
Instigation, antagonism.
That's what they've been doing.
Yes, yes.
But what they do is they're using the terror groups as sort of like proxy to make war against Israel, and they just look from afar.
Yeah, exactly.
So they take groups like Hezbollah, ISIS, Hamas, Taliban, all of those, and they use them to make the fight, and then they just basically sit back. Because what Iran is waiting for, if you look at the Iranian history, they're waiting for the 12th Imam to come. Now, does that sound like anything familiar when it comes to Christianity? We're waiting for Jesus to come.
Yes, yes.
So they're waiting for the 12th Imam, which is basically going to do what Jesus said he was going to do in the Word of God.
Yeah. Well, that's because they copied the Bible and made it fit into Muhammad, right?
Of course, if you go back and you look at the history of Muhammad, it's real interesting. Multiple wives, and you know, he had all these concubines and things like that. So.
And it's so bizarre, right? I mean, it's what those folks that believe that way have to do in order to earn, versus freely given, as in Christianity, where Christ, he gave his life for us. It's just basically a free gift that we have to receive. All other religions, you have to do something to achieve whatever it is that they're saying you're going to achieve
exactly.
over time, right?
Exactly. It's a workspace.
Yeah, and we know that in our faith that works are important, because it proves out our faith and it proves out heaven on earth as we do the things that Jesus instructed us to do and God's instructed us to do. But back to this conflict, Will, you know, and you and I have laughed together about, not about the conflict, but how people are behaving across the world amidst this conflict. And what really makes no sense to me, and I'm sure to you as part of our conversation, is that people are ignorant, for lack of a better state.
Exactly.
They're just truly ignorant. They don't know the Bible. They don't know Israel's role in the kingdom of God, obviously, because here, and you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi, as he's fondly known by his friends and colleagues, is that he said, it will not be long before the world turns on us. And what he had the foresight, you know, really quite amazingly, of what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And truly it did happen. Look at what's going on even in our own universities and the campuses and the students and just, you know, all these rallies. And even last night at the DNC headquarters in Washington, they had this violent attack with all these protesters fighting with the police, trying to get, you know, the DC, I guess, to make a decision to say boycott, no more funding, all that sort of stuff, call for ceasefire. Genocide is occurring with the Palestinians, but they seem to have forgotten what started it on October 7th. You know, Israel became, they declared war because they were declared war against. So they said, okay, you want to play ball? We're ready. And they are playing ball. They're playing hardball. They're going after Hamas. They're going to do exactly what any strong country should do when you've been attacked. Baby's been murdered, beheaded, beat to death, raped. You know, 40-some children, I think they confirmed in the first week and a half that happened to. Bodies, children were burned. Adults were raped and pillaged and burned. It's just been on and on and on. But yet the short-sightedness of our people globally amazes me, truly amazes me.
Well, and I think for me, Roy, it's not surprising because, you know, the Bible basically tells us that when Israel, the people of Israel started coming back in early 1900, then, and there was nothing there, just nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden God began to bless and the land began to flourish, which, you know, again, he says in his word, and I think it's in Amos where he talks about that. But Hamas and all of those, the terror groups around Israel, I just read yesterday where Iran did not, quote unquote, approve of Hamas attacking, but yet they support their effort, calling them brothers.
Yeah.
So it's like we don't want to get, you know, pulled into the conflict with Israel, because if we do, then maybe the United States will get pulled in and we don't want to have a conflict with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got all of those countries around there. And of course, when we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, we see that they talk about regions where they talk about Gog and Magog. God being a person, Magog being a place.
Right.
And then you're talking about Rosh, which is modern day Russia. Then you look at Meshech. Meshech is the area that's northern Turkey and then parts of southern Europe. So you're talking about Beth Togarma, you're talking about Tubal, and you're talking about Gomer.
Yeah.
These areas. Then he goes on to mention, and he talks about Put, which is the northern African countries from Saudi Arabia all the way over to Morocco. And then he talks about Kush, which is Libya and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of these nations and all of what they have, they basically want to destroy and annihilate Israel, which is the same ideologies that Hitler wanted to do back in Nazi days.
Yeah, and what's interesting, you know, you hear the word genocide, and against the Jews, when they say the Israelis are committing genocide to the Palestinians, but the Israelis are the ones who actually went through genocide. 6.5 million people, or 6.8, I believe was the number, somewhere in that range, and only like 4.8 were ever identified, where they actually had tracking who the individuals were, lost track of 2 million that were executed. So what's interesting is this whole narrative around the genocide of the Palestinian people. And, you know, the Israeli group is doing it with precision as best they can. And like Bibi said in the interview last week, there is going to be collateral damage. It's inevitable when you're in war, especially when you're fighting in cities and having to go after a group of cowards that are hiding behind people, below hospitals, in tunnels, making operation centers where there's normally a lot of people that have to be cared for or dealt with or work, etc. So, folks, let's be smart about what we're doing. Don't just take social media at its face value and say, oh gosh, the Palestinian people are being just murdered and executed. No, it's not working out that way. There's collateral damage that has occurred as a result of Israelis going in, but the collateral damage is on the heads of Hamas, because they're the ones who are hiding behind and under and through in front of these people, right? That's what's causing all this destruction as it relates to the deaths and collateral damage.
Yeah, Roy, when you see that, and, you know, and the listeners and viewers, we are not without compassion for those who are caught in the middle, number one, because anytime when you have war, when you go back and you look at World War One and Two, the millions of people who were lost during those wars, and they didn't even have any weapons. These were farmers and everyday people.
Right.
So we know that things like this is going to happen during war times. But as you stated, Roy, it's Hamas is purposely using people as cover.
Right.
So that when attacks go forward, then all of a sudden people see hospitals being hit or schools being hit and things of this nature. And of course the people were told, you know, to go ahead and evacuate those northern areas and start fleeing to the south. So Hamas.
And they were given forewarning.
Exactly.
You know, and did Israel get any forewarning that they were going to be attacked to protect your families? No, they wanted to kill those folks. That's exactly the difference, right?
Exactly.
Israelis are trying not to have anyone injured, but they know it's going to happen. Hamas wanted to injure and kill people and take them hostage.
Exactly. And so when you can easily go back now, and we can say things like, okay, well, the people of Palestine, you know, they voted to have this type of government, you know, within there.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have to understand one thing when we say that, is that some of those people, we don't know what number it is, may have done this over duress. Or over threats.
Oh, of course. Of course.
So you have, and again, we don't know what that number is. But again, it was adopted. And when you look at the things that basically the Quran says about people who are non-Muslims.
Yeah, non-believers.
You know, so, and that's the thing. They call Muslims believers, and we call Christians believers.
Yeah.
So we have to, again, be careful, because that language can be misinterpreted depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but we understand that when we talk to someone who was born again and we say they're a believer in Christ, well, that separates them from believers of course, the Islamic faith.
Right. Well, one of the things that I've always found interesting about that whole conversation is that, you know, we call for peace amongst the Muslims, and, you know, in the U.S. we've even got some Muslim senators serving, right, in Washington. But yet, if you look at our Bible and you study our Bible and know the word, the theme throughout is love, right, from start to finish. It's about love. It's not exactly about killing or murdering someone that doesn't believe like us. Is share the gospel and hope that they'll make a conscious choice to follow Christ and become a believer of Christ. The other book is exactly the opposite. If you don't believe like they believe, what do they tell you to do?
Well, I'm going to read to you exactly what they
do. There you go. Well, why don't you do that? That's even better than an opinion.
I'm going to read exactly what they say. In Surah 9:5, Surah is like a chapter in Muslim. In the Quran. So in Surah chapter 9:5, it says, "Then fight and slay the pagan wherever you find them, and seize them and beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them for every stratagem." In other words, this is your strategy, is to slay any individual who is a non-Muslim.
Right.
In Surah 2, 191 and 192, it says, "Kill them wherever you find them," and that's the infidel.
Right.
And again, the infidel is anyone who is non-Muslim. Kill the infidel wherever you find them, and where you do, drive them out, just as they drove you out. Persecution is severer than slaughter. So they'd rather persecute you.
Right, tortures with you.
Right. Right. Rather than just go ahead and shoot you.
Yeah.
So they want to see you suffer.
Suffer.
And of course, keyword, in Surah 5:51, it says, "Believers, take neither Jew nor Christian as your friend." Surah 47:4, "When you meet the infidel in the battlefield, strike off their heads." Surah 60:13, "Believers, don't make friends who have incurred the wrath of Allah." And that's just a few, Roy. There's hundreds in there.
And that speaks all across the things we've seen for the last 20 or 25 years, right? We've seen the headings occur on the internet of innocent people who just happen to be looped into this conflict, or their strategy, if you will. And that's what's so amazing to me and disappointing at the same time. We know what they're capable of. We know what their beliefs are. We know that their mission and their strategy is to do just what you read, by their own word, is to kill, persecute, execute, torture, whatever word you want to use, to inflict pain, suffering on the individual and their families. because they don't align or believe the way they believe. Back to our earlier narrative, our Bible says it's a message of love. That includes these folks that are trying to kill us. That includes these folks that are killing people, that are executing, torturing, all those things. So I think for us as a society, globally, it's important that we take a position that there is a right and there is a wrong. The wrong occurred on October 7th when innocent people were murdered, tortured, raped, burned, beheaded on October 7th. It's only fair to say that that country had the right to respond and then go after the evil that they have put up with for so many years, as Hamas has constantly harassed them, constantly tried to kill them, continues to keep the Gaza Strip in turmoil, the Gaza area, right? All the Palestinians, to your point, or not all of them. I'm sure there are quite a few that support Hamas. You can tell by the filming we're seeing and stuff that the reactions and their behavior.
And the ones that are not supporting them, of course, you won't see them on the news because they are afraid of exactly what may happen if they're shown on the news not supporting Hamas or any other terror groups.
Right. Well, I think we're getting close to our first closure on our first show. Anything you'd like to share with the listeners before we phase out today?
Well, the only thing I like to share with our listeners, Roy, is don't have the mob mentality. Do your research. Research these groups out. Understand what their true motive is. And don't just get on the bandwagon of supporting something that you simply don't understand.
Good point.
So educate yourself and then come to an understanding before you have an opinion.
Yeah, that's great advice, Will. And folks, once you have done your due diligence and have a clear understanding of what is what and what is right and what's wrong, then don't be hesitant to speak out to your local officials, to your House of Representatives, to your congressmen. You need to have that voice. They need to hear. We have been so wishy-washy as of the last several weeks as a country, trying to play both sides of the fence instead of standing with our ally and with our friend Israel. We've seen that, and that's what we need to be aware of as a population and as a group of people that care and love others. Well, folks, we thank you for your time. We would like to mention, too, we've got the major event coming up January 26th and 27th. We've been honored to be able to secure Jason Crabb, a two-time Grammy nominee this year, as our lead singer and entertainer for Friday night. It's called A Night of Worship. We've got two other bands that will be participating as well, Taylor Vaden, and then we've also got the Mountaintop Worship Band that will be there with us on January 26th. The show starts at 6 p.m. on that Friday night. We'll continue to about 9:30 on Friday evening with finishing up with Jason Crabb. And then on Saturday, we've been blessed to put on the Full Armor of God Life Application with our great and very good friend, General Boykin, who will be back with us. We missed him this past year due to an unexpected health occurrence. Bishop Larry Jackson, and I would ask you to pray for him. He had a stroke last week, a mild stroke, but he's doing really well. So just please pray for him. And our very own Jane Lessard, who's been a great friend of the ministry for the last 15 years or so, and has been there for many couples and many men that were needing help. And she's a professional counselor that's retired now, going to have a great word for the men and women on that Saturday. And one of my former teammates from NC State, Pat Tigg, will be with us, who's former Tampa Bay Bucks linebacker and just loves the Lord, has loved the Lord since I've known him and before then.
And let me say... We will have as our MC the Russian Nightmare.
Yeah, thank you, Will. Nikita Koloff will be back with us as the MC for both days. Please join us. Go to talkum.com. You can get information there or Eventbrite and just look for the Intensive 2024. And we've got all the information and we'll certainly share that with you. But we hope you'll join us. And it's been our pleasure to be with us, with you, and have you with us. Will, why don't you close us in prayer, and then we'll see you on the next show, brother.
Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us here. You know all of what's going on around the world with respect to your chosen people and those who are praying for them. We know, God, that you will protect them. You say that in your word. All of the things that we have seen with our eyes, you have already declared some of these things will happen in your word. So we want to bring to light and just manifest this through this show, some of the things that our listeners may not be aware of, to bring some insight to them so they can have an understanding and go out and search these things for themselves. We thank you, God, for all of the opportunities that you are giving us, both now and in the future, if you don't come for us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We love you, folks. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
Hi, folks. This is Johnny, Talkum's producer for Man Talk Radio Podcast. Join us every second Saturday of the month at 8 a.m. for Bold, Becoming Obedient Led Disciples, out at the Crossing at Union Cross Campus, located at 1650 Pecan Lane, Kernersville, North Carolina, 27284. Come grab a biscuit for your body and some fellowship for your spirit.
As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.